Well, it was, I'm not even using this, so.
We've learned some things after my first weekend. Apparently, I project. You can still hear me, right? So it was very good to be reacquainted with so many of you last weekend, my first weekend here, and many of you just meet for the first time. If I missed you last weekend, I want to introduce myself again. I'm Father Tyler Arnes. I'm your pastor. I mentioned last night, I think I had a couple people come up to me and ask last weekend, how do we pronounce your last name, Father? Now, I'm used to Father Tyler, but if you want to know the proper pronunciation of my last name, it's Arnes. So I'm used to hearing Arnes. That's probably what you already, read, when you saw my last name. I'm used to Arnes, but it's Arnes. So, it's like if we wait 5 months or 5 years, God willing, and I'm your pastor, and you find out later on that wasn't even correct, and why didn't he ever tell us? Well, we're family, so you should know. It's Arnes. Thank you. Okay, that's probably the last time I'll tell you that. Well, in our first reading this Sunday from the book of Deuteronomy, we can sense Moses' urgency, even maybe his impatience, as he's speaking to the Israelite people. And now this is at the end of Moses' life, as the Israelites are preparing to enter the promised land after their long 40-year sojourn through the wilderness. And we know, from that story of Exodus, throughout this time, the Lord has been continually calling back his people to himself. As they've rejected him and rebelled, they've, of course, we know, suffered in many ways because of their unfaithfulness, their immorality, choosing other gods. And so God continually seeks to call them back to himself, and he gives them the law. He gives them the law through Moses. And the law is not meant to shackle them. It's not meant to shackle them, but rather to guarantee their greatest individual freedom. And we see Moses here kind of being perhaps fed up, because the people should be able to follow the commandments. He says, it's not too mysterious and remote for you. It's not up in the sky. It's something very near to you in your hearts. And of course, what Moses is referring to, it's the natural law. It's the natural law written on our hearts, the hearts of men. That God doesn't leave his people high and dry, as it were, after he delivers them from Egypt. But rather, he provides for them. He provides for them, and he tells them how they are to follow him, to be truly happy, and to ensure their lasting freedom. That God gave his children the law so they could serve as an example of how to live. And over some time, of course, the law became very difficult to interpret and to apply and to fulfill. We know that in addition to the Ten Commandments, over time there arose a total of 613 commandments passed down, contained in the Torah, commonly translated as the law. It wasn't supposed to be burdensome. Moses said, you ought not make this overly difficult. It's on your heart already. See, brothers and sisters, without Christ, nothing has direction. Nothing has direction. Nothing has purpose. As we heard in that second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, he is the firstborn of all creation. All things were created in him. That there's not a particle of God's creation that did not involve the participation of his Son, Jesus. That he is the wisdom of God, the logos, Greek logos for word or reason or principle or law. If we go to the wisdom literature in the Old Testament, like the book of Proverbs or the book of Wisdom, we see that Jesus is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. He's the organizing principle who coexisted with God the Father from all eternity. Jesus the Son, the Word incarnate, the law incarnate. And because the Word, the Logos, or law, has become incarnate, become like us, we can know how to be truly human. We can know how to be truly human, how to act, how to live, how to love, how to follow him. That he tells us, he teaches us, he shows us by his commandments and his instructions, his speeches, his deeds, as we see throughout the Gospels. So that it's not as distant as the ancient Israelites thought, as Moses is saying here in this first reading. It's not up in the sky or across the sea or too mysterious. It's the natural law written in our hearts. As St. Thomas Aquinas tells us, the natural law is nothing other than the light of understanding placed in us by God. The light of understanding placed in us by God. Through it, we know what we must do and what we must avoid. God has given this light or law at the creation. And since in a very real sense, we were created by Jesus because through him, all creation came to be, because he is the wisdom of God, he is the Logos. Therefore, our natural sense of right and wrong is going to correspond with what we find in the scriptures, from the Ten Commandments, from the Sermon on the Mount, from the parables like the one we heard in this gospel, or as our Lord tells us as well in this gospel, the two greatest commandments. And the natural law points ultimately to Christ. But Jesus didn't come just to give us an example. He did. He gave us the gift of his Holy Spirit, which makes it possible for us to do what we couldn't do before. Where the Israelites failed by following an external law, the Catechism reminds us, like a tutor, it, the law written in our hearts, shows what must be done, but does not of itself give the strength. The law shows what must be done, but does not of itself give us the strength, the grace of the Spirit to fulfill it because of sin, which it cannot remove. It remains a law of bondage. The law, the old law, prepares us for the fullness of Christian life and the power of the Holy Spirit. That we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, which makes it possible for us to follow God's law, law of love, and truly and from the heart. See, many of the ancient Jews didn't understand that without interior conversion, their stony hearts would betray them. We see in the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses gives the people the law, and they were told to keep the law, and they would receive blessings as they prepared to enter the promised land. The old law, the natural law, written in their hearts, the hearts of all men, while good, wasn't enough. It wasn't enough because it didn't have power. It didn't have power. And that's why God needed to write the law on their hearts, to give them natural hearts, to make it possible for them to have this interior conversion of heart. And Jesus came because he was after the hearts of men. He was after the hearts of men because we needed a total transformation of the heart. See, brothers and sisters, our salvation is not from external religious observances or from just having the presence of God in the temple as it was the case for the ancient Jews, but from a relationship with him lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. When the new covenant is established, the prophets would foretell throughout the Old Testament, man would have the law written in his heart, which would allow him to be faithful to it. The law as they knew it existed outside man. That's what the scholar in this gospel is referring to, which was why they so often turned from it, because it was written outside man. But when it is within man, we become capable of following, of fulfilling it. That's why this parable we're given in this gospel, the Good Samaritan, is so instructive. Because actually, and this is important to see, the Levite and the priest in this parable are both being very dutiful. You know, and often we'll look at this parable as an example of what not to do. They're not showing proper service to their brother, hospitality. And actually, they're following the law. This is the Jewish purity law. They're going up to serve in the temple. And so they're being very dutiful by not coming into contact with this man. But what Jesus does is he changes and perfects love, a according to the Spirit, not the law which would have rendered that priest and Levite unclean, according to the law of Moses, but he comes for this deeper transformation of the heart. We know at Pentecost, when Jesus' disciples, along with Our Lady, were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were filled with the love of God. As St. Thomas Aquinas tells us, the Holy Spirit is the law, the new law of love. Their hearts were transformed. He put his law within them, replacing those stony hearts with new hearts. And we know as more people were filled with the Spirit following that first Pentecost, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. They were more aware of their sin and moved to repent and turn away from sin in order to receive his love more fully. And with the Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us now through the sacraments, through initiation and our baptism and through confirmation and the grace of the sacraments, you and I are able to be faithful to him and to know him and to love him. As we sang in that, heard in that gospel acclamation, your words, Lord, are spirit and life. That it isn't just about following rules and regulations as some of the ancient Jews lived, the scholar of the law shows us, and even today as many Christians oftentimes live. But it's about knowing the Lord in a relationship and living in the power of his Holy Spirit. That this is why Jesus came. This is why he saved us. This is why God's people didn't have the relationship, and so they conformed the law he had given them to themselves, rather than conforming themselves to the law. And of course, we see this all around us in our world even today and in our own lives. What do we see today in our world? This growing sense of autonomy, this high placement of value on autonomy. I do what I think is right, what is going to serve me. And of course, this leads to all kinds of enslavement these days, to materialism, to lust, to greed. That we try to conform God's law to ourselves rather than conforming ourselves to God's law. And when we see in the ancient Jewish practice, when they cut themselves off from his love, they substituted the law for relationship with him. And the relationship he gives us now in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the fulfillment of all the Father's promises. If we don't keep that relationship alive, we risk falling back into sin. This relationship is what frees us to love him and experience his totality of love in our lives. So, brothers and sisters, let us pray that our hearts may be conformed ever closer to the heart of Jesus, that we would be filled with more of his Holy Spirit to enable us to love like he does, supernaturally. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.